Scorpions Audio. The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
No, just fucking get in and hang on. Let's go.
Well, I'm declaring that I'm gonna try and be positive on this one. I feel people have listened to me bitch about stuff the last few weeks, and I got nothing to bitch about this time, which is good news.
Well, in all fairness, you weren't bitching about nothing. I mean, you had some legitimate grievances recently.
Yeah, you know, I had a couple of speed bumps. I'll say this as closure for things. You know, I know people were going and leaving bad reviews of old Sunrise Ford. That's Sunrise Ford in North Hollywood, by the way. you don't need to do that. I don't think mob mentality does well for anybody. I mean, I appreciate you. Excuse me. I appreciate you sticking up for one of your boys here, but I got it. I was just bitching, and kind of my intention was by mentioning it that take your business elsewhere. But I got into it with them, and they're going to give me a new tire and new spare. They're not going to give me the off-road tire that was on there, but they're giving me, I'm getting a new spare and spare mechanism put on by a dealership up here. So things got rectified there. So that's good news. Okay. That's good news.
That's good.
And, yeah, I can go into that, but I feel like I'd rather just have closure. Me, you know, this isn't Ralph Nader piss and moan hour. This is a Boogie Monster. And we're a couple of fun dudes, Dave.
We are.
A couple of good time boys.
Fun loving fellas.
Yeah. And I did, last week I did a couple of few shows in Portland and Helium before Portland got shut down again, because they, I guess every 2 weeks they kind of do an assessment to decide how contained coronavirus is, and it is not contained enough. So things are back in lockdown, and so that's a bummer for right now. I'm sorry about the throat clearing, but I got to do it. You know how I am. You know, professional voiceover artist that needs to clear his throat every 30 seconds. But so we did that. I was in Seattle last night at Laughs in Seattle.
Oh, yeah? And how was that?
Two great shows, man.
Yeah.
Killer lineup of locals. A friend of yours, Andy. Well, I want to say the name the right way. Owasio? Where was I reading it?
Yeah, right. Andy.
Yeah, and so Iwancio. And so we were sitting there talking about all ghost-related things, because she's into all that. So we were throwing down over beers. Shows were great. It was one of those, like, oh, the club owner's like, oh, man, there's like five people before me on each show. But everybody did like 7 minutes, and were crushers. Yeah. And they were crushers, though. And it was good. It was good vibes all around. It's good shows. Got me in a good mood. Did the old live Hey Girl Saturday night. Got got tore up from the floor up on Saturday night, I'll tell you.
Uh-oh.
And then didn't sleep. So I was in rough shape heading into those shows last night. But it was
Does Laugh still have one of your old show posters on the wall where you wear it rocking the bucket hat?
Yeah, and I made fun of the bucket hat. And then they gave me a new poster to sign. I tried to draw a new bucket hat on my head, and it looked like I just gave myself a mohair cut with a black magic marker. So I fucked it up. But man, it was just – it was good. And like I said, I want to try and do – positive, trying to be positive on this one around.
Well, good, buddy. I'm glad you had a good weekend, man.
Yeah, dude, I'm feeling, let me see. I think I got a list of who was on these shows. It was Adam Tiller hosted them. Burundi, he was funny. Nikita Oster, that guy, dude, he was funny. Andrew Rivers, who I think I missed. I think I might have missed Andrew's set. I'm sorry that I missed your set, Andrew. I had to go get checked into the hotel at the beginning of that second show.
Yeah, I know, Andrew.
Okay.
Party dude.
Yeah, I apologize. I think I missed his set. And then Jeff Brousseau was on it. It was just like one of those things where you're like, shit, man, this is the local scene up here? Because I thought everybody I knew from Seattle had split. Mm-hmm. Like a long time, you know, like I knew like the Andy Haynes and Billy Wayne Davis mm-hmm. era of those dudes, or like yeah.
Brian Cook
and who's the guy? Oh shit! Well, I think he's Canadian. You want like he's super handsome dude? It's one of those guys like you want to hate him. Well, Nick Thune, Seattle guy. Mm-hmm. God damn, I'm gonna find his name because I like him. I'm pissed now.
Not the guy with the GQ shirtless photo shoot.
No, but it's a guy that Instagram. No, not him. Although I think he's Seattle also. But it's a guy that yeah. There's a guy. It's a guy that's good looking like him, mm-hmm. but funny. I think he's actually technically Canadian. But shit. I'm just mad I can't give acknowledgement to a guy that I think is funny, and it's one of those guys you don't want to like. I'm like, look at this handsome. He's got a pretty funny photo of him doing the Patterson Gimlin pose nude on a mm-hmm. street in the Pacific Northwest holding a mic, and he's like a rip dude, but you could tell it's not on per. Like it's a funny photo. I'm like, get out of here.
But, right on, man.
Yeah, man. That's Seattle scene.
I always have fun up there.
Yeah.
I have fun up there when I'm there.
If you're in Seattle, go take a chance on some shows. Mm-hmm. Go see these local folks. They're crushing it.
That's how it is everywhere, man. Where there's normally a good scene, I'll come back and nobody I recognize is there, but the scene is still crushing. It's that way in Atlanta. It's that way in Denver, Nashville, a lot of these scenes where like the people I know are no longer there, but they just keep reloading. Just talent just keeps coming down the pike.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I'll tell you, as an established, let's say pro, more or less, gets a little scary sometimes. We're like, ooh, yeah. This is what's out there. Man, I'm going to have to discourage some of these people from pursuing comedy professionally because it's going to make it hard. At least the people on the roster last night, they're going to knock out some of our contemporaries are going to get knocked to the side if those fuckers keep going for it. There's
only so much work out there.
Oh, man, that is a crop of strong amateurs coming out of Seattle.
Well, that's good, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it is good. I'm stuck. I want to figure out the dude's name, and it's driving me crazy, so I'm going to look for it. But what's going on with yourself? Tell me about yourself, Dave. What's happening?
My weekend sucked.
Your weekend sucked?
I'm doing... Yeah, just I got the second shot. I had the vax flu. And
sucked for a
good
reason.
But I'm good now. I was just knocked on my ass for almost exactly 48 hours. Got the shot noon on Friday and just felt like ass until about yesterday, Sunday afternoon. And it was kind of what I expected. I was fortunate that it wasn't as bad as like some people who have experienced. Katie, for example, like had a terrible experience. It wasn't that bad, but it just felt like I was talking to our buddy James Fritz, and he nailed the description perfectly. He says it felt like he's the day after a high school football game, but with the flu. Like your body just all beat up. I just felt sore, but I also felt like I had like flu symptoms. I don't know. Like body aches have never bothered me because I just used to being sore from like, you know, doing outdoor work and lifting weights and younger playing sports. Soreness and body aches have never really bothered me. It's just kind of comes with the territory. But man, this week just felt like, I don't know if you ever done a lot of like weight training, weightlifting, but like it's like hitting the gym super hard.
Ask me with a straight face if I've ever done weight training, Dave.
Well, you're a rad dude. I don't know if you throw some dumbbells around, but it's like I used to lift pretty heavy, but then it's like not lifting weights for a year and then going in and just way overdoing it. And then that the next day or two, that soreness of like, oh shit, what did I do? Why did I do that? Not ease into it. It just so many body aches and just up and down temperature. I'd be cold 1 minute, sweating the next, and just an overall shitty experience. But now I'm just back to normal.
That's so. What I was wondering. I wonder if like do you get the body aches because of how like shivering, like how much your body's going through? Lachlan Patterson. And he's from Vancouver. And he's great. Mm-hmm. Lachlan's very easygoing, sweet dude who's like, he's one of them casual dudes. Like, oh, this guy's just not doing big act outs, just sitting there chatting. And you're like, just casually hilarious. So,
yeah.
Lachlan Patterson. Yeah. I don't know why. I was
surfer like, dude, too.
I think, dude from Vancouver.
Big into surfing.
Yeah, one of them cold weather surfers. Like, like unlikely you wouldn't think. Kurt Braunohler. Learned mm-hmm. a surfer from New Jersey.
Yeah.
Not what you'd think. But, man, yeah, those body aches. Yeah, I felt like I got, I went through a black belt test that I did not know I signed up for. Of which, I was talking to my dad. I didn't realize my dad got his black belt when he was 70 years old.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And I'm not sure. They may have just... Maybe they just gave it to him because like we just let this guy have it because he's gonna die in here if we gotta give it to him so he stops coming to the dojo.
Man, that's awesome. Good for your dad.
Yeah, it's 70 years old.
He ever try now some moves on you? ask you like, all right, punch me with your left hand.
I mean,
okay, no.
I'm not falling.
Right,
he does have that, like, if you joke around with him, though, there is that, like, reflex of, like, all right, ease up, man.
Yeah.
I'm just playing.
Oh, man.
That was like, awesome. Can I confess something that I still feel bad about? It was when we were at Andrew Orvidal's house, and it was like, I don't know why, we were all out to lunch drunk. Do you remember this? We're at Orvidal's house. There was,
oh, for the Super Bowl.
It was Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You had makeup on that you let Rachel put makeup on you.
Yeah.
I had I had what I knew was an empty BB gun, but I had it pointed at very irresponsible on my part, admittedly so. But your reaction to like grab it from the side and twist it, I was like, I'm fucking around like an idiot, and even being this drunk, Dave with mascara and lipstick still had proper reflexes. like you were
instinct.
Just, you were the least convincing undercover prostitute. Hey, I'm going to rob this whore. Hold on, Officer Dave.
even with a BB gun, don't point that shit at me.
That was a real stupid thing on my part. Real stupid. And I still feel bad about it to this day. You know those things that you just wince at your own activity. And I remember looking, I'm like, this will be, that wasn't a threat. I'm like, let's like do a stupid picture or something. And I remember looking at it and being like, but that's stupid. Very, very stupid on my part. So my apologies once again.
Well, I'm glad you finally rectified that situation because that's really been sticking in my craw all these years.
It bothered me, Dave. What if we had to take you to the emergency room and you had all this makeup on and then, you know. what's happening here? Well, where do we start?
Yeah, it's a long story. Don't worry about it.
But, well, I'm glad you're feeling
better. Good. Yeah, feeling better. Back to normal. Everything's good. Just, but I will admit it was kind. I haven't been sick in years. I don't really get that sick. I get like, I have like a constant little congestion nasal thing. I don't know if that's the air quality around here, but I can't remember the last time I got like straight up the flu or food poisoning. But it was kind of nice to just know, all right, nobody expects anything of me today.
Yeah.
I'm just going to sit on the couch and self-medicate with some gummies or whatever and just kind of ride the storm out for a couple of days. So it wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
Get knocked out at night with a little NyQuil. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Finally got, you know, it was worth it. I got both vax shots now, so I guess I got to wait another 2 weeks before it's, you know, I'm fully safe, but looking forward to getting back to somewhat normal. normal life. Do some stuff.
There's a definitely a nice vibe of cruising around going like, oh, I got the shot. So as much as, you know, still wear your mask and everything, but not having to have that little bit of panic.
Yeah.
I've been trying to make sense. I've been working it into the act. So forgive me to anybody that saw me trying to make it a bit. But like as a piece of conversation, how do you reconcile, Dave, knowing that like we like our conspiracy theories, but now it's like, well, don't trust the government on this stuff. It's like, well, no, I am going to trust the government on vaccines because it's scientists that are saying we should do this.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, like it jumped from conspiracies being a novelty thing to talk about into now there's dangerous political candidates running on platforms of some of this bullshit. Like if you were, I wouldn't vote for you if you were a political candidate and your main goal was to prove Bigfoot was real. Not because I don't want that, but because I'm like, no, we need somebody that's going to worry about real issues. As much as like, you don't need to be in office to do that. Actually, don't be anywhere near political office and then dedicate your time to that. Don't split it between, oh, I got to vote on environmental issues. Also, I'm bringing Bigfoot into every meeting. Just be the Bigfoot guy. Don't fuck around with politics.
Oh, wasn't there some politician recently in the last couple of years where they found Bigfoot erotica? He had written some Bigfoot erotica, or he was in possession. I'd vote for that guy.
Yeah, I mean,
it was South Carolina or something.
I mean, as far as erotica, it's not my, but you get it, of course, it deserves it. Mm-hmm. How many scenarios can you come up with just people?
Yeah. Oh, and speaking of which, by the way, and I always have to throw these out. While I certainly appreciate the several dozen people who have emailed or messaged me the "I want to fuck Bigfoot" yard sign.
Yeah,
I've got plenty of those. Got them. Every time there's a new Bigfoot meme, oh, Bigfoot playing a saxophone. Let's send that today. Oh, I want to fuck Bigfoot yard sign. Let's send that. I appreciate the fact that you think of me in times like this, but I'm good. I'm good on those. Got plenty of those.
Yeah, the Bigfoots are real, and he eats ass hat.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. It's nice to be thought of, though. You know, like when, oh, you know who would appreciate this? We, at the forefront. But see, if we say something like that, Dave, then what if everybody thinks they probably already have it and then you don't get sent that stuff?
That's true. So, but yeah, just having to weed through all that on a weekly basis.
I did see a lot of that. The airbrushed truck trailer gate. With sexy Bigfoot laying on his side.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those are
nice. It is, well, and especially being here in the Pacific Northwest, I know you don't like it, but like I was almost going to stop at Bigfoot burritos and subs. Like, he's just the guy up here.
Who said I don't like Bigfoot burritos and subs? I don't even know what that is.
Well, no, that you don't like Bigfoot being used in a corporate manner.
Oh, right. Yeah, I don't like it when, like, the beef jerky. I think it's a little disrespectful. I think they're exploiting Bigfoot a little bit.
What if Bigfoot is secretly licensing his own image and he is living well? Like, he's got the sweetest underground bunker because of this.
Yeah, that mailbox money.
Listen, if you can be an Epstein-level billionaire pedophile and keep that shit under wraps for that long, maybe that's just what Bigfoot has going on. And he's just got a marketing and licensing team, and he's got a lot of a lot of NDs out there, non-disclosure agreements out there.
NDAs.
Yeah. A lot of like, well, I know Bigfoot's real. Whoops. You got sued into oblivion by this bipedal legal assassin. I mean, if we're going far enough into a conspiracy theory, go into all of them, you know?
Yeah.
Bigfoot is real and he's lawyered up. Not Bigfoot's real and eats my ass. Bigfoot's real and he's lawyered up. And anybody close enough to want to talk about it gets 86. He gets thrown in one of the portals.
Mm-hmm. All right, today's podcast sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, BetterHelp. They are there for you. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? BetterHelp is there for you. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. The service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't have to ever sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with a traditional therapist. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit their website and read testimonials from satisfied customers such as this one. Quote, he has helped me with so many things over the last year, childhood trauma, death, abuse, trust issues, the list goes on. Says one client, speaking of counselor Joseph Frey. Another satisfied customer, quote, Rebecca is a wonderful therapist. She listens deeply and asks wonderful thought-provoking questions that stay with me and allow me to dig even deeper in the days after our session. Speaking of counselor Rebecca Dempsey, visit betterhelp.com/boogie. That's better H-E-L-P, and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Special offer for Boogie Monster listeners, get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/boogie. That's better H-E-L-P.com/boogie. All right, let's talk about SimpliSafe. They're an award-winning home security system. You know them, you love them. They're engineered with the latest technology that's going to keep your family safe. But what really sets SimpliSafe apart is their people. Highly trained security experts who are always there for you when you need them most. These are the people who truly care about keeping you safe. When an alarm goes off, an actual person who cares is going to be there for you with a phone call to make sure you're okay. When an emergency happens, an actual person who cares is going to be there and help you to get fire and police responding to your front door right away. Even if you're just having a problem setting up your system, a person who cares is going to be there for you with a friendly chat and a quick resolution. The bottom line, when you need them most, SimpliSafe is there with 24/7 with people who care and experts trained not only to keep you safe, but to make you feel safe. That's nice. It's one of the many reasons U.S. News recently called SimpliSafe the best home security of 2021. Here's what you do. To learn more about SimpliSafe and how they can help protect you and your family, visit simplisafe.com/boogie. That's S-I-M-P-L-I, simplisafe.com/boogie. Visit them today. They're going to customize your system. You're going to get a free security camera. You're also going to get a 60-day risk-free trial, so there's nothing to lose. One more time, that's simplisafe.com/boogie. Guys, for the better part of their lives, our better halves have been fantasizing about the perfect wedding ring, cut, clarity, carat, color, you name it. But for us, not so much. Jewelry stores clearly think the same thing. Who really cares about a guy's opinion on a wedding band, right? Well, Manly Bands, they care, and they're here to rescue you from an otherwise hellish band buying experience. Manly Bands offers your hand the freedom to look how you want it. To get started, order the Manly Ring Sizer from Manly Bands to ensure that your ring will fit perfectly during work and play. Once you know your size, it's time for the fun part. Manly Bands has an insane selection of materials to choose from. Gold, wood, antler steel, dinosaur bone, even meteorites. I got all sized up because, as you know, I'm getting married hopefully this fall, and they are sending me a manly band. I went with the rock star made of tungsten. Full disclosure, manly bands, if you're listening, I wanted the Jurassic, but it was out of the price range of what they're willing to offer their sponsors. But that's understandable. I still got a very nice ring. You can also choose from curated collections like the Jack Daniel's Whiskey Barrel Collection. Yes, wood from whiskey barrels around your finger. Very cool. And if you're feeling even more creative, you can customize your band from scratch, choosing the style, material, inlay, sleeve, and finish. Once you've selected your band, Manly Bands offers free shipping worldwide and a 30-day exchange policy and a free warranty. So while there might be 50% chance your marriage working out, there will be 100% chance that you're going to love your band. Here's what you do. To get your Manly Band and get 21% off plus a free silicone ring, go to manlybands.com/boogie. That's manlybands.com/boogie for 21% off. Manly Bands, the best damn rings, period. Oh boy. So what else going on, man? How's Dirt Nap doing?
Oh, little D's out there just Rab, we took her to the vet the other day, just she'd been a little sluggish, and then turns out she's old. She's an old cat. Mm-hmm. So that's what it turns out. Vet's like, nah, a little thyroid thing, we gotta try and wrestle her down to give her eardrops.
They figure out how old she was?
Jenny Nooch just
Jenny Nooch.
Ride that line between what mood are we in today? Is it male energy, female energy? 16. There's a 16-year-old critter out there just sunbathing right now.
Good.
Man, I was sleeping on the couch Saturday. I haven't had good sleep in a few days, but that was after the after the Hey Girl thing. And I fell asleep kind of for an hour or two. But, man, that cat. Now that it went from, like, I'm a skittish stray cat into I figured out how the pet door works and I found my voice, I'm just going to scream until I get what I want. It's like, what have we made? It doesn't seem like your cats are real vocal over there.
No, they are a little vocal every now and then, but for the most part, they keep pretty quiet.
Yeah, old little Dirty D, man. It's either real loud screaming or this weird give her a shot of WD-40 because it sounds like just an old rusty farm gate. So, but everything seems to be on the up and up. I'm going to fly in an airplane this week, Dave.
Oh yeah,
haven't done it in a year.
Wow,
going to
I haven't been on an airplane in a long time.
I don't even know how to do it.
Think,
yeah, well, if I can't.
I haven't been on an airplane since I don't know, man. It's been a year and a half, I bet.
Yeah, it's been over a year. Going to a wedding because now everybody's got their vaccines, so it's one of Rachel's friends. This wedding's back on. Like out in Idlewild, which you were a fan of.
Mm-hmm.
Dogmere out in Idlewild. I kind of thought it'd be funny if you just ran for mayor against the dog and started a real scummy smear campaign.
Slinging mud.
About just catching this dog, humping other people's dogs, and shitting in people's lawns. Like, do like a real serious, like... Not how could you have a dog for a mayor, but how could you have this dog as a mayor? This dog is disrespectful. Man,
that's funny.
So, yeah, I got to get on an airplane Thursday.
Well, that's cool, man.
Which will be a wild one.
Yeah.
Getting back to it, man. Getting back to life.
I will admit, that's one thing I have not missed is air travel. I really hate. I don't mind. Like, I'm not afraid of flying. I don't mind that. It's just everything that comes with it. Just the getting there early and the security check and waiting. Mm-hmm. I just hate all that nonsense. And, like, L.A. makes it so difficult to get to LAX. Like, there's no public transit to LAX. So it's just such a pain in the ass. It's second biggest city in America. We don't have public transit to the airport.
Well, you're in Long Beach now, man.
Well, yeah.
You got that Long Beach airport is like something out of Mad Men. It's just...
Yeah, it's cool, but the problem with that is the tickets are like 50% more expensive than at LAX, so that's the gamble you have to take. Like, do I want convenience and pay for it? Yeah.
That Burbank, man, that's like when I knew I was doing well, was I was going to spend the extra money to fly from Burbank. Because Burbank. What do you do? Like, you work hard to earn a living, and after bills are paid, it's like, well, now it's the ease of life. What things do you determine are priorities versus luxury? Some people, it's like nice meals, going out to eat. I don't care about that stuff. That's not really where I spend my money, on nicer meals or anything. But given the amount of traveling that we do as comedians, I'm like, I'm flying out of Burbank. LAX is like general population prison yard that you take a $75 Uber to and from.
Yeah.
And sitting, like, realizing, oh, I'll be on time for this flight, and then just the line of traffic just to get into the airport. When you're in the driveway for the airport and it's another half hour, and you see people just taking their luggage and walking through traffic to get into the airport.
Mm-hmm.
It's
a nightmare.
Yeah. Oh, man. The Burbank, well, it's like having a private jet.
Yeah, it really is.
Cruising right there.
It's worth the extra money.
Yeah.
Man, speaking of restaurants, I know you just said that's not what you spend your money on, but Katie and I were talking the other day about, we always try to do a little double birthday trip in August, because our birthdays are like 5 days apart. Mm-hmm. But I think this year we're going to forego that. You know, we both kind of want to just go out to eat. We haven't sat down at a restaurant in over a year, except for two quick little meals when we took that little Julian, California trip. We sat on these little outdoor cafes, but don't really count those because it was just, they weren't, the restaurants themselves weren't destinations. It was just like, okay, they got something to eat here. Let's go grab some lunch. But well over a year since we've decided to, you know, go out and just sit down and enjoy a nice meal. And I think that's what we're going to do a few times on birthday week rather than travel. Just go out and get some good grub, man.
Where are you fantasizing about?
Oh, man, probably towards the top of my list would be Park's Barbecue, Park's Korean Barbecue in
Park, is Korea. That Park's Finest?
Little Korea town. Not Little Korea. No, Park's Finest is often confused with it. That's in Echo Park. That's also on my list. That is Filipino-style barbecue. I'm talking about just simply Park's Barbecue. It's pretty much the best Korean barbecue in L.A. I mean, it's nuts.
But both
of those are on my list.
I'll tell you, there's Vans Footwear, the shoes and what have you. Are doing this thing, it's called Vans Foot the Bill, where there's different designs of like slip-on Vans, and I'm trying to look it up right now, that like benefit, like you buy the shoes and all the proceeds of the shoes go to the small businesses. But I think there's for Park's Barbecue. I'm looking it up right now.
Really?
So even though you can't eat there yet, Dave, you could maybe just get shoes that help keep the place open. And I'm looking for it right now. I'm going to try and find these shoes.
I like that. Usually I don't like those charitable things because that just feels like Honda has that thing they've been doing for a few years. Helpful Honda days where, hey, we found a single mom who can't pay her rent. So here you go and please buy our cars. Like, all right, that's great. But I don't know. What's that got to do with a car?
It as much as like it probably does benefit somebody, it also does have the feel of like,
look how good we are.
It always smacks of that when a corporation is touting what they're doing. But, I mean, Vans, I think from what I've noticed, Vans has kind of always been above board as far as, like, them giving back to, like, kids and skate parks and everything. Yeah. And then I bought some from the Metro where I recorded Loose in Chicago. I got a pair of shoes that were like the proceeds were going to keep independent venues alive, and they expanded it to kind of the Park's Finest. That's not the one.
Park's Finest.
That's the one you're talking about?
Well, that's one of them. That's the Filipino one in Echo Park. Oh, that place is awesome too. Probably the best smoked meat in LA is the Park's Finest smoked beef rib. They had this beef short rib, and dude, it's better than some of the traditional barbecue places, or most of them. Like, it's insane. That place is legit.
Okay.
They got this coconut beef. They got this elote, the street corn. Oh, my God. The Park's Finest is really badass.
I'll tell you what I had that was real tasty on the way up. Like, you know, we got Taco Time up here in the Pacific Northwest, which is like a bit of a hippier, more like better for you version of Taco Bell or Del Taco. Got myself a Baja shrimp taco.
There you go.
And it was one long shrimp. Just one. Kind of was kind of surprised. I'm like, this is odd. Like it's like
a giant prawn.
But not like a loaf, not like a shrimp, not like the one that I horrified everybody with. not a sliceable shrimp. Not something you can get a deli slice off of.
Uh-huh.
But like maybe a regular shrimp, but they, much like the guy who found you in the alley across from the Bulldog Bar, they stretched it out.
Yeah.
They stretched it out for me.
Yeah,
they
stretched it out a little bit.
They unfurled it, breaded it in coconut, but with a little slaw and like a sweet, kind of sweet, spicy chili sauce on there.
Oh, boy.
Girl. For a fast food. And then I got their veggie burrito. That's the place that had sunflower seeds, and I thought it was just uncooked rice at first. Now that I know it's sunflower seeds, I kind of like it.
Dude, seafood tacos, a good shrimp taco, a good grilled fish taco, even a battered fish taco. Oh, big fan.
Yeah, it was a hard concept to grasp at first because I always thought of like tacos and burritos is like this asada, super savory thing. So to try and think of it as a like a lighter fare with a cabbage slaw was difficult to accept at first, especially being a Midwest with undeveloped taste buds. But once I started eating those, especially Best Fish Taco in Ensenada, where they had comedy shows on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Affordable, too.
Affordable?
To go there.
Tasty little treat.
Get a whole taco for like $1.75.
I get two shrimp and one fish. They get the real good salsa bar.
Mm-hmm. Got the crema.
Oof. If I didn't just eat a bunch of bullshit already today, I'd be fine. I'd be taking the long way down to a Taco Time right now.
Man, you got me in the mood. I was going to save this for the end, but I got a recipe for you. I'm going to go ahead and knock this out.
All right.
I'm just switching up the order. This is kind of a thing.
Mid-roll recipe.
Made loaded rice and beans the other day. Loaded rice and beans. Here's what you do, man. This, you talk about a delicious, savory dish. Cook you some white rice and chicken stock. All right. Anytime you're cooking white rice, sometimes you want just plain old white rice. I get that. But if it's going to be incorporated into a recipe, go ahead, instead of water, use chicken stock. And I know you wouldn't, but even someone like you, a vegetarian, could even cook it in veggie stock, would add more flavor than just plain old water. Anyway, cook the rice in chicken stock. I fried up some bacon in a skillet, fried up a few pieces of bacon, set that aside, leave the grease in there. Then I diced up some yellow onion, some green onion, and some garlic, threw all that in the bacon grease, sauteed that up real nice. Once the rice was done cooking, threw the rice in there, sauteed that up a little bit, added just a can of black beans. You know, you can do the homemade, soak them overnight and cook them all day if you want. But just for this, just open a can of black beans. So now we got in the skillet, we've got the sauteed onion, yellow onion, green onion, and garlic, along with the rice and the beans. Then I add in a little seasoning. This one I'm kind of making, you know, since it's rice and beans, I'm kind of making a little Mexican style. I added some of that tajin seasoning, that tajin Classico. I don't even know what it is. It's got like lime powder and cayenne and chili powders and stuff. Oh boy.
All right.
Good stuff. So threw that in there. Oh boy. Added some more fresh green onion. Chopped up that bacon, threw that back in there. So now we've got all the rice and the beans and the bacon and the onions and the garlic all sitting there in the skillet under some low heat. Then throw in a bunch of shredded cheese. You could use, taco mix. You could use cheddar. You could use a Colby Jack, but just some shredded cheese. Then throw a lid on it. Let that melt for about 30 to 60 seconds. Then pull the lid off. The cheese should be melted. Then pull you out a big old scoop, put it on a plate, and add a little sour cream and a little hot sauce. Boy, howdy. Got you some loaded rice and beans.
Okay.
Basically, rice and beans. But then you doctor it up with some bacon, some onion, some garlic, some sour cream, some cheese, some hot sauce.
I mean, that's my veggie burritos these days, just rice and bean and cheese burritos. So,
man, good times. Just had to get that off my chest.
Got an old boy and a good times on that one.
I tell you what, though, about the sickness this week, the one difference, and I don't know if this was just me or if this is just biology. Usually when I have the flu or any type of sickness, my appetite goes out the window. Did not lose my appetite this week. And I wonder if that was because it wasn't like an organic sickness, you know, because it was a reaction to obviously to the shot. But I wonder if that had something to do with like, oh, you're not sick per se, so you're not going to lose your appetite. You feel sick because of the shot. But like my body's like, no, we're still hungry. So just lay on the couch and eat food all day. So that's the one negative, I guess. You know, every time, you know, the few times I've had food poisoning or the flu, as bad as it's been, I come out the other side a few pounds lighter. Not the case this week. So I had the hearty appetite.
I was out. I couldn't eat anything.
Yeah, it didn't bother my appetite at all.
Well, I mean, I don't think me nor the listeners are going to be surprised.
Oh, boy. Should we get into a topic?
I think, well, I know you came in right when, like, what we're talking about. You're like, well, this bullshit. So I know you got something to be, you're a little spicy about aforementioned utilizing Bigfoot as a, mm-hmm. as a means to, capital gains.
Exactly. Here's a terrible example of that. Let's talk about exploiting Bigfoot. I was excited about it because the trailer looked good. There's a new series on Hulu simply called Sasquatch. Okay, there you go. We're just going to name it Sasquatch. Now, it's a three-part series. Now, you would think a three-part series called Sasquatch would, you know, maybe mm-hmm. be about Sasquatch. Not really the case. Really just kind of a third-rate true crime doc. And one of just about these three pot farmers that got murdered back in 93 up in Mendocino County near Humboldt County, Northern California. And and they thought, oh, spoiler alert. I'm going to spoil some shit. All right. First spoiler, it fucking sucks. Second spoiler, Sasquatch didn't kill the three guys. Some other pot farmers killed these three Mexican dudes and then tried to pin it on Sasquatch. Hey, let's murder these guys, but let's make it look like Sasquatch came in here and ripped them to shreds. And that way the other Mexican pot farmers who might be fearful of such legends will know to stay out of this area because this is Sasquatch country and he might kill you. End of story.
I do find that to be a, what a very pot-headed alibi.
Yeah.
Fuck, let's just tell them. Like, not even a bear. Like, let's jump to the least believable tale.
Uh-huh.
Of what may have happened. And that's that this mythical creature, not known for violence.
Yeah. Well, and then there was a part of the doc where they thought maybe this human guy killed him, and the main suspect other than the actual Sasquatch was a guy who goes by Bigfoot Gary. So there's another tie-in. Ha-ha, tricked you. Bigfoot Gary. Maybe he did this. And then they determined that Bigfoot Gary didn't do it, and then must have been Sasquatch. And then later we finally reveal that nah, just some other dudes did it, and then they made it look like Sasquatch did it. So let's name our documentary series Sasquatch.
Someone had mentioned, I don't know if I saw it on Reddit or Twitter, and responding to Boogie Monster, your same sentiment, Dave. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
I was like, really? Like, well, and that's what you're right. Like, people using... like, were we talking about that Waverly Hills Sanitarium, or was I was talking about it with Andy last night at the club about how, like, the guy who bought that Waverly Hills place in Ohio or Kentucky, mm-hmm. what I keep forgetting which where it is.
Louisville,
okay. And just basically now you lean into something being haunted, because mm-hmm. whereas before that would scare people away, now that actually makes it a tourist attraction, so people are hyping up the idea that something might be haunted to get interest. Like that Airbnb we were at, where it's like, oh, it's a ghost. It's like, no, you just have fucking crackhead locals. It's not ghosts.
Yeah, it was a real bummer, man. And like I said, it wouldn't have been a bad story or a bad doc had I not gone into it thinking it was about Sasquatch. You know, silly me, assuming from the title that maybe it would be about Sasquatch. But I mean, they touched on a little bit here and there, you know, the history of Squatch in that area and blah, blah, blah. But just the fact that now if the mystery was left, you know, cold, like a cold case, like, hey, maybe. But like they admit by the end of it, we learn. I don't think it's confirmed. I don't think anybody got charged. But the guy who made the doc was basically, you know, satisfied with the story of like, nah, these other guys killed him and made it look like Bigfoot. Okay, then why fucking name the thing Sasquatch? Like, it's just so misleading. It's such a bummer.
It's that, like,
it's the same frustration I had as a teenager watching USA Up All Night, thinking I was going to see some boobs, and I never did. It's like, what a waste of time.
How many times did you have to watch? How many times did you have to stay up all night with USA Up All Night before you're like, they're not gonna?
Yeah, I don't think this is going to happen.
What a teenage boy. What kind of physical enduring, you know, endurance tests of like, I don't want to give a lot of credit to the King of Queens, but the one show where the Kevin James and his buddy got in a car accident because they knew that if you drove by a strip club when the door was open, you could see the mirror inside and you can kind of see a girl on stage. And they were like, yeah, totally. And then drove by it and got in a car accident because that I'm not proud to say that's dead on.
There's worse sitcoms out there. There's worse. It's decent. Frank Stiller and Patton Oswalt together. That was, or Jerry Stiller and Patton Oswalt. That was a great deal.
That's true. Yeah, Jerry Stiller and Patton. And it is just like nobody's going into it going, you know what? Reinvent the sitcom. People are going into it like, all right, schlubby dude, hot wife out of his league, but some decent jokes written in here. Fine.
One time Jerry Stiller was trying to sue Charles Schulz for using his likeness to create Charlie Brown. I had a shirt just like that. Oh, my God. I want to talk about this real quick in terms of documentaries. Now, let me preface this by saying I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. I'm not a documentarian. I'm not a film buff. But, you know, I watch a lot of documentaries. I sometimes get annoyed at documentaries that kind of make the creator the star of the movie. Do you know what I mean? The filmmaker is that plays a role in, like, and I understand sometimes that's necessary, but sometimes it just seems a little self-aggrandizing of like where the focus shifts from the actual topic or subject matter now to the filmmaker, him or herself, you know, that's kind of what this one was doing. It was all about this guy who's an investigative journalist and it was done. I don't know if this is on purpose or like for aesthetic reasons or if it really is just trying to put lipstick on a pig in terms of a low budget film. But like some of it was just so low budget in terms of, okay, we got this interview with this guy, so now just film me talking to this guy on my phone while on speakerphone. Like it just, some of the shots and some of the production was just,
they did that with
so bad that it was distracting.
That QAnon documentary that's on HBO, which was really good about revealing who Q probably is. But yeah, there was some choices where like, oh, this person didn't want to be on camera, so we manufactured like a digital being that like the effects make it look like it's this being made of ether sitting there across from it. From me, I'm like, this is just like special effects jerk off party that is entirely distracting. And it's a, it was like just what it was that like loose change or whatever. And like I've said it before, when the second credit in the beginning was who the DJ was, I'm like, nope, you're not. I don't believe you. I don't believe this.
Yeah.
If you're like, this is pressing information the world needs to know. Also, sick beats by DJ Find the Truth. Nope. You just pulled the rug out from underneath your own feet.
Yeah.
And that's how I wanted to watch that QAnon one because it was revealing of they figured out who Q probably was. So I had to really try very hard to ignore some of that kind of stuff. But that's, yeah, it's like the Morgan Spurlock type of like, I'm the guy doing it. Well, then it's not. There probably isn't such a thing as an objective documentary. Mm-hmm. Like if you're making a documentary, eventually your point of view is probably going to reveal a bias towards one side or the other. Because then otherwise, why would somebody watch a documentary?
Yeah.
You know, where's your audience if you don't? If you don't kind of like cater to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, I get that.
I'm with you. I think I started watching it the other night, but it was late, so I didn't get too far along in it. But
I mean, and let me preface or let me make clear, like, it's not a terrible documentary. It's an interesting story. It's just, I mean, it's a whodunit. You know, these pot farmers got murdered. A whodunit is always interesting, but just the fact that they lean so heavy on Sasquatch, even the fucking title. And then at the end, they know. At the end, the filmmakers know that Sasquatch had nothing to do with anything. And like I said before, it'd be different if they left it open-ended, like maybe. But they conclude it by having one of the guys involved, you know, incognito, basically say, yeah, we had these guys killed and we had it made it look like Sasquatch did. Okay.
What?
Fine. Don't name it Sasquatch. Don't lean on that topic.
But I think that's just the cottage industry of like of true crime documentary. Like, is there any unsolved murder that doesn't have a documentary or a podcast made about it? Which, hey, it's good. Maybe, you know, you can get more information to help solve these things. But that's it. I think anybody, if it's Beanie Babies, it's just, oh, here's a way to make my unsolved murder. Let me whip up about a documentary about it. Because you can sell it to somebody.
Uh-huh.
So I think that's what it was. Like, what's the spin on this one? Might have been Bigfoot. Cool. We bought it. Here's your check. How's it about Bigfoot? Ah, one guy said it maybe might have been. Like, I don't think anybody's reviewing the pitches for these documentaries.
Yeah.
If you just say unsolved murder, boom, you'll at least get it on Hulu. You'll at least get it on.
I watched another movie that kind of annoyed me too. This was an actual movie, not a documentary. It was a good movie, but just one little factor about it pissed me off. Reese Witherspoon, Wild. Is it just called Wild? I think it's just called Wild. Have you seen that?
Oh,
where she backpacks based on the
Cheryl Strayed book. Yes.
Yes. Yes. And she, interesting movie. She backpacks the entire Pacific Crest Trail. Only problem is she did the whole PCT, and not once did we ever see her in a hat. Little fair-haired fair-skinned blonde girl, going to spend 6 months traipsing through some of the most rugged terrain on the continent. Not once do we see her in a hat or a sunburn.
That's probably a directorial choice of like, listen, a lot of acting is in the expressiveness of the human face. Yeah. So
I get that.
Can't
but
be
at
covering
least show
that
some long shots or something with her in a hat every now and then. But
Dave goes to the movie. Saw that movie Wild. One bad. No hat. All right. I give it three and a half stars.
Oh man. Well, speaking of the Sasquatch, the fake Sasquatch attack, I got a quick story about a real Sasquatch attack. One of the first documented cases of Bigfoot attacking humans called the Ape Canyon attack.
Enough of this bullshit. Here's a real-time Sasquatch
attack. Exactly. Here's some real shit that I read on Wikipedia. One of the most widely known and publicized cases of attack on humans from alleged Bigfoot occurred in the summer of 1924 when five prospectors, Marion Smith, his son Roy Smith, Fred Beck, Gabe Lefevre, and John Peterson, they went out to the wilds of Mount St. Helens in, am I pronouncing this correctly, Skamania County, Washington? It's Skamania.
Skamania County.
Skamania County, Washington. The group was out in a remote wilderness.
You know, they ask you not to litter in Skamania County, and if you do, pick it up, pick it up, pick it up. I had to, Dave. Dave, I had to. I'm sorry.
Oh, man. They were prospecting near an area of a branch of the Lewis River about 8 miles south of Spirit Lake when they came across the first of many oddities that week. They discovered a series of footprints reported as looking very human-like but much more massive, around 15 inches in length. Not long after that, the men began to see some strange creature following them through the trees during their trek. Several of the guys noticed a 7-foot-tall gorilla-like figure seen on at least four occasions. One of them described it as being having long black hair and sporting 2 4-inch-long ears that stuck straight up like dogs, like a dog's ear. So that's a characteristic we haven't heard much. In terms of Sasquatch, are the dog-like ears. That's usually in reference to like the dog man or, you know, or the wolf man type stuff. But yeah, dog-like ears on this one, apparently. So that's weird. On the morning of July 10th, Beck purportedly saw the creature standing near an edge of a canyon, and he decided to take a shot at it with one of his rifles. He apparently hit the thing square in the head, and it fell over the edge of the canyon, plummeting about 400 feet down, presumably to its death. That's when things got really strange. Later that evening, the men were chilling in their cabin. They had built a little cabin out there years before, so they're all back at the cabin. Late at night when suddenly they heard some crazy pounding on the roof that seemed to shake the entire structure. In addition to the pounding and thudding, the cabin began to be pelted by large rocks, some of which broke off into pieces, smashing through the window. One of the rocks even hit Beck himself. Apparently, it knocked him unconscious. According to news stories at the time, there were dozens. Now, this is a crazy thought. According to the news stories at the time, there were dozens of these creatures prowling around the outside of the cabin. Beck would later claim that the men had fired wildly into the night in all directions in hopes of scaring some of these creatures. According to him, they stayed all night, pelted the cabin all throughout the night while all the men cowered inside the cabin. These crazy hairy intruders that were assaulting throughout the night, eventually, or they called them mountain devils. The mountain devils eventually fled upon sunup, at which time the men were able to escape the camp and unharmed. So they got pelted by dozens. Could you imagine dozens? There's 30 Bigfoot outside my cabin. Hello, 911. Yes, there's 2 dozen Bigfoot out here. I mean, that's terrifying. One Bigfoot would be terrifying, much less dozens. So I don't know how much truth is in this story, but this is one of the first. This is before the term Bigfoot or even Sasquatch in terms of common vernacular was coined. So they just called them mountain devils. But yeah, that's the Ape Canyon attack.
But if
nobody died in that one.
But with big tall ears, drunk prospectors. I don't believe there's ever such thing as a sober prospector. I don't think.
Yeah, probably not.
I think there was a lot of hooch, a lot of mountain moonshine involved. Also, but this isn't too far from that mineral lake where we were at. I mean, I see Mount St. Helens from the highway here.
Yeah.
Looking at this, where this Spirit Lake is. But now you have the idea of a volcano. It wasn't dormant, though.
One of my favorite stories we've ever discussed on this show, the Mount St. Helens Bigfoot who met with Army personnel and took a ride in their Jeep.
Oh, yeah, Bigfoot Mountain Rescue.
Yeah, yeah. That was pretty crazy.
That one's...
How far are you from Mount St. Helens, do you think?
I'm looking at a map right now. I'd say maybe hour drive, maybe. Hmm. Let me look at Spirit Lake. Let me see directions to Spirit Lake here. From my house, as I sit. Oh no, I'm sorry. That's 3 hours and 40 minutes. But it's like a roundabout type of way to get there. Is what's going on?
Yeah.
Well, that seems like a stupid way to go. What if I want to go Mount St. Helens? Yeah, it's got me going real out of the way. This other way is about 2 hours. As the crow flies, I bet it'd be about an hour and a half, but you got to go.
Okay.
That's wilderness up there, so you got to take a lot of weird side roads and everything.
Yeah.
But it is like living up here and driving. We're like, okay, you know what? I'm going to say something can walk off into these woods and be left alone. And mm-hmm. not found. I'll agree to that. If that dude in New Hampshire could live for 30 years in the woods, and it took 30 years to catch him, and he's just a human man.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You know, I still keep this one alive, Dave. I keep the Bigfoot one alive. In my own, canon of beliefs. Bigfoot's still around. Some of these stories are tough. Some of these stories are hard that you come at me with.
Yeah, yeah, I understand. But it's fascinating up there. I love the Pacific Northwest, man. Like I told you, I spent a week in Mount Rainier National Forest. And mm-hmm. Oh, boy. I was convinced. Like, that was probably the most squatchy area I've ever camped in. And I was just convinced. Like, I'm going to see something. I got to see something. And I didn't. But, you know.
It's lovely right now. I mean, after filing the rain, springtime, everything's blooming. Mm-hmm. They were just lush greenery. It's beautiful up here, man.
Yeah, so get back up there.
Get on up here, man. Let's do some stuff.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You seen any docs or anything lately? Anything?
I've been doing shows. I'm getting back in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not on the couch anymore.
No, I'm going to try and get this van into an unstuck location in the woods. If you want to come up here, mm-hmm. let's go make the TV show nobody else would let us make.
Yeah. Yeah, this piece of shit got greenlit, but ours didn't. Okay.
Well, I don't think it got greenlit. I think it just got bought because somebody made it already.
Yeah.
Unless I don't know,
yeah, the Duplass brothers are producers of this thing, and normally they churn out decent stuff, but it's a bit of a stinker.
Yeah, I wonder when somebody's a producer, it seems like that's an easy way to kind of just make a few bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's just be producers, man. Let's be like, yeah, nah, I'm a producer on that. It's an old Ian Edwards joke about moving to LA. He's like, man, everybody's a producer. I don't even know what that is. Guy gives me his business card. I'm a producer. The only thing you've ever produced are business cards. This is your dad's phone number on here.
Oh, man.
Well,
good times, buddy. Anything coming up? You got any shows on the books?
Man, just that Nashville day. Got news. The knee was probably gout.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so, I was wondering about that.
So it's
probably gout.
I'm back to walking. I got to get it strong now. I gotta get back on these bikes, baby. Canaan's gotta get back in the world.
What can they do for you with the gout knee?
More medication,
more exercise, what?
Yeah, I'm just back to taking my bullshit pills, and I just gotta get my legs strong again. Mm. So we'll be back. But so I got those Nashville dates in June. I'm gonna be driving out there. I'm gonna have the van. Stay tuned to Instagram is where I'll probably put out the word if I'm just going through a town, being like, hey, I'd love to do a show somewhere tonight or tomorrow night. Let me know. Now I'm vaccinated. I'm, you know, don't have to stress out too much. But, let's party, America.
Hell yeah, man.
Hey, America, let's party. Party in the USA, as Miley Cyrus would say.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What about yourself, Dave? Any shows? You doing that yet?
I got nothing, man. I got to figure out a strategy how to get back in the gym, how to get back into stage shape. I got to start doing some shows around here, L.A. or something. We've talked about this, but I never did any of the Zoom shows. It just felt so unnatural. I've done no Zoom shows. I've done no live shows. I got to get my strength back up. Got to figure out how to get back into touring shape.
So, that's what I've been doing. It's fun to be scared of stand up, though.
Yeah,
I do like that. I do like being nervous. Like I feel good. Mm-hmm. That makes you, you know, get your shit together, and I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a mentality too. Like, when you're a comic, you deal with that almost on a nightly basis. Just that, and we've talked about that. Like, even as experienced as you are, I'm talking about even before COVID. But you know, you having 20 years in, I'm 15 years in. Like, you still get a little. Somebody told me early on that if you're not a little bit nervous, you're not taking it seriously.
Yeah.
And I always loved that. I always loved, like, in the middle of a tour, you know, hey, I've been doing this for years, and more recently I've been doing this every night for weeks, and, you know, I feel like I'm pretty good, but I'm still a little nervous for tonight's show, and that's a good thing. And I miss that. I haven't been nervous for a show in over a year.
Yeah.
I miss that adrenaline that fuels you. So I can't wait to get that again.
And if you are a comic and you listen, like, and you're not getting scared, change the order of your set. It might not be the same as a new bit, but, you know, do your closer at the beginning. I mean, I know it's the Louis C.K. thing, but, like, do that. And all of a sudden, like, whoa, I got to think of my feet for the rest of this set. Yeah. That'll scare you. Mm-hmm. Throwing your closer out at the beginning and being like, what do I do now? That's a fun one.
Yeah. Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I miss all that, all those weird little feelings and the adrenaline and, you know, the anxiousness and just the excitement of a new bit. Oh.
Well, it's out there waiting. It's out there waiting for you, buddy.
Yeah, all those little byproducts that I've kind of forgotten about over the last year. I can't wait to get back into that. So I'll figure out how to get myself back in touring shape and hopefully start planning something here soon. Maybe for the summer, go out on a nice run.
Hell yeah, buddy! Get out in them woods. Sasquatch, let's do. I was going to say Sasquatch Comedy Fest. There already was a Sasquatch Festival in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Squatching for laughs. who to squatch instead of, like, new faces? I don't
comics
know.
To squatch.
Yeah, comics to squatch.
Did comics to squatch.
Upcoming comics to squatch.
Oh, God.
Comedy and camping. It'll be fun.
Patreon.com/boogiemonster. $4 a month plus free giveaways. Giving away a t-shirt this week. Saying it out loud, that sounded kind of lame. But giving away a t-shirt and some koozies.
Yeah, man.
Now we're doing monthly giveaways now. Gave away that Death of the Party vinyl last month. Got a t-shirt this month. Working on some other cool shit. $4 a month, 2 bonus episodes. Patreon.com/.
You got no hogwashes left?
Hogwash all gone. Hogwash all gone. None of those. Still got some cookbooks. Cookbooks still available at dumbdavestone.com and still churning out those cameos for your friends and or enemies. You can just find me, Dave Stone Comedy on Cameo. Those are always fun. How's did you ever set up a OnlyFans for Dirt Nap?
It's up there, yeah. We got kind of busy with other stuff around here, so it hasn't been maintained enough. I think I got to take hold of it and get some hot, sultry footage. Get some exploitive footage, old little D up there. Give the fans what they want. I don't know. We got a few bucks that went to, I think it just went to ASPCA, I think was a charity we're using. That's cool. So, yeah, it's all going to go to, it's just an excuse to get people to donate to a thing. We're not keeping any of it. But I need to be better about it. I get up on that. So, yeah, it's hard. Like, just the other day, I had, like, three things to do, and it was a basket case.
Yeah.
Because I'm just not used to like, oh, like three things in a day. All of a sudden, I'm like, is this what CEOs feel like? I'm so busy.
Yeah, slow down.
Is this a head? This is what the captains of industry must feel every day. I got to go to the store and answer an email. Fuck.
I think about that a lot because I'm the same way. If I have to run one errand, I'm like, oh, I'm maxed out for the day. And then I think about like what my dad was doing when he was my age. Like, raising a family, working two jobs,
being a decent father. Like, don't I need a nap because I had to go to the post office and I had a phone call. So I'm gonna have to, sleep for another 3 hours extra today.
Oh.
But speaking of which, I do have another voiceover session this afternoon, so I gotta bounce. We did a positive one. Good vibes, man.
Positive. Good vibes, Kyle.
Positive springtime vibes.
Everybody likes positive, Kyle.
I'm trying. I felt bad the last few of them. I was kind of just being, not even being fun, just complaining. And who needs that?
Ah, dude.
You got regular people in your life that you got to listen to complain. You don't got to tune into this for it.
Well, good catching up, buddy.
Giddy up, dog. Giddy up.
Keep it between the ditches, and we'll talk to you next.
The Boogie Monster.
Network.